quarter, keep the change. You gotta be cool when you're walking on Wall Street. Like going to school, you'll learn a lot every day. And this is the rule when you're walking on Wall Street. Buy low, sell high, take a piece of the pie. That's the Wall Street way. That's the Wall Street way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Wall Street Podcast. I am Kevin Cotillo, and I'm here with John Bosch. What's going on, John?
Not much, Kevin. Glad to be back. It's been a little bit, which is what I feel like we say every time we record. So we're gonna do our best to not have to say that next time we record.
We do seem to say that quite a bit. I think it's okay. We're, you know, especially in this year, I think we get slack for not recording on a regular basis, but we're going to try and put out some more episodes, like you said, so hopefully this will be the start of many to come. Riley Biomaster is also with us. If you remember, he bailed on us for like two episodes. He threw his hands up, said he was out, but he's back. We've pulled him back in. How you doing, Riley?
Doing fantastic, and it was actually just that one guy who was, you know, giving us crap for not recording. I still think it was a fake account, it was a troll, but hey, we're back. It's going into week two, trying to find that silver lining on whether or not you're overreacting or reacting accordingly, which I think is going to be the theme in the 2020 season.
We need to make this very clear. We are recording Wednesday night before the Browns play on Thursday night football. and I'm not sure how this recording is going to go, but knowing who we are going to be talking about, I have a feeling I should bet the over on the Browns. That's just...
Yeah.
I'm going to go put money on the over on the Browns.
Obviously, that will be much more relevant as we get into the players that we're going to discuss tonight. This will be an all-Browns-themed podcast, but for episode number 49 of the Dynasty Wall Street Podcast, for those of you who haven't listened before or just forget since we haven't done an episode in a while, the way we do this is we use the Dynasty Trade Calculator, which you can find over at dynastytradecalculator.com. We will take 12-team Superflex score rankings or values for the players that we're going to talk about. Riley's going to talk about a quarterback, of course, tonight since we're talking about the Browns. Mm. John will talk about a running back, and I will talk about a wide receiver. We'll talk about their values in the calculator, what you could trade for to get them, what you can trade for if you're trying to get rid of them, and all things in between. So I will kick it over to Riley because I know that you have been waiting desperately to talk about this player for 2 years now, basically.
Sure, we'll go with that. yes, obviously with the Browns theme, we were bringing Baker Mayfield as the quarterback tonight.
Not the backup quarterback?
We'll talk about the backup, potentially.
It's probably not far off that he's the backup. So, you know.
Might not be after the last 17 games of Baker, his entire sophomore year and week one of this year. It's got a lot of people feeling very pessimistic about Baker's future. Myself included, probably the biggest Baker fanboy on this entire planet. So let's jump right into it. He comes in at a decreased value on the calculator, currently 24.7. We're going to line that up. We're going to drop it a little bit because his perceived value is probably much lower in your league. We're going to comp that to a mid-2021 first and a mid-2021 second round pick. That comes in at roughly 21 on the calculator. So right off, you've had Baker for 2 years and one game. You're probably not feeling fantastic right now. Bosch, we'll kick it to you first. What are you doing?
I'm taking Baker.
Okay, good.
And I'm probably not offering the first and second right now. I'm probably going to offer the first because I think that might do it for someone who is in your boat, Riley, who has suffered through. I haven't suffered through. I don't have Baker. Like I don't have Baker Mayfield basically anywhere because he got super expensive. Now is the time where I might go buying actually. And I think I might be able to get him for a first.
I think
that's possible.
Peaking at quarterback two off the board in ADP last year behind only Mr. Patrick Mahomes. So it's been quite a fall in about 12 months.
Yeah,
Kevin's shaking his head.
Bit of a drop.
Just a tad. And some of us actually traded up into the late first round last year in startups to grab Baker. myself included, but we'll kick it to Kevin.
And you've been frustrated. So let me just straight up ask you, like, you have been frustrated by what you invested. Would you take, if somebody sends you just straight up, would you take a 2021 first right now? I know with you, you're going to counter, you're going to want more.
Correct.
But if somebody says, nope, that's all I'm going to give you, would you take it?
Well, you never, ever take the first offer. Everyone knows that.
Oh, my God. Yes, you do. Sometimes you just take the right offer sometimes. It's just easier.
Honestly, it really...
Not the point of this podcast, boys.
Not the point of the pod, but it really depends on your team situation. So for me, I have Baker on a lot of contending teams because I thought he was going to be the next big thing, and I paired him with another quality producing quarterback. If I'm a contender... Obviously, if I know I can trade a first for a Tom Brady or a Drew Brees, I'm probably thinking about it because I can't take this week in and week out of Baker throwing for 120 yards and three picks with a contending team. I mean, I need that solid quarterback too. So if I have a run at the title, I think I'm taking it.
Man, that's jumping ship. All right, Kevin, sorry to cut you off. I was really curious if Riley would settle for a single first.
No, and that's I'm kind of with you, Bosch. I don't think I can. If I'm Baker, I don't know if I'm selling for that low yet.
God no.
But if I'm anyone else, I'm not paying it either. Because
that's the thing. That is 100% the thing.
Give it a couple more. I mean, I if he has two more bad games,
you're not getting
that
first
is gonna look. No, you might not even get the first. Exactly. So, and God forbid he gets benched. I mean,
so that's what I was going to bring up later. I mean, we know who the backup is, right? In Cleveland, it's Case Keenum, who was Kevin Stefanski's boy in Minnesota. And Keenum looked decent over the last couple of years. I mean, he got in there and kept them in ball games. So how long of a leash does Baker have with the new head coach? I mean, the new head coach and the GM right now, Andrew Berry, did not draft Baker. That was John Dorsey. So they're all out. How long is the leash? That's the question.
Yeah, here's the thing, though, right? Like, are you going to turn to Case Keenum, who's going to come in and try like crazy to win games and be that guy that comes in and does things? Are you really think you're going to, this Browns team, are they built to win? Can you do it?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Nothing else is working.
Turned to Tannehill, and
good point.
It's true. We didn't really expect
that.
He led a team that probably shouldn't have done what they did, and now they're.
If I'm a GM in this situation, I can't bring myself. I gotta ride the ship down in flames, right? Because
yes,
at the very least, then at least you get a shot at another top tier quarterback that you can draft. Otherwise, you're not going forward with Case Keenum. So
right, but if you're losing already with a former number one pick, why the hell not give the keys to Case Keenum? It's not like he's gonna lead him to 10 wins. I mean,
but he could lead him to three more than Baker could. If Baker's that bad consistently, why not ride it down all the way to the number one pick?
I mean, I see it both ways. I just don't know. I don't know the culture inside that front office. I don't know
if I'm that front office, I give it three or four more win or losses with Baker, and then he's my starter for the rest of the year, and I start selling off every piece I possibly can. And just accumulating more draft stock again.
I agree. In our case, as dynasty owners, two or three more weeks tanks Baker's value. He's gone. You're not even going to get a first. Which is why if I'm on a contending team and I have Baker, I am cutting my losses and I am gunning for Breeze, Brady, Tannehill maybe. I think he's a slight upgrade. His job's a little safer since he just got paid. So from our point of view, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to keep him and...
This is so
coming
funny
from
to watch
the biggest
Riley.
Baker
so,
fan.
You're so disappointed right now, Riley.
I
have a feeling a decent game Thursday night, and you're right back steering that ship.
Probably so. Don't get me wrong. I still love him as a player. He was my QB2 that year behind Josh Rosen, so looking real good for my evaluations that year. At least Baker's still on his original team. So silver lining there, but I mean, it's just frustrating, and I want to win. I mean, I want to win on all my teams, so I'm not going to sit here and let Baker drag me down. So I've gotten better about that. I'm not take-locking so hard.
Yay!
But
Good job, Riley.
I still love him. I think he has the potential to be a fantastic quarterback.
Riley's already back to the point where no, a single first definitely isn't worth it.
Oh, I'm
you gotta
still
send me at least the first and a second at this point.
I have the proof.
He's getting
to back
it
up
there already.
I have the proof. I already dealt him in a 14 team Superflex today. I have probably one of the top three or four teams in the league. I'm making a run again this year, cutting loose. So at some point, you got to do what you got to do. Let's talk about some comps. We're going to talk about some similar quarterbacks so we don't spend all night talking about Baker, because I'll just, I don't
know.
Should
I play the clip about 70 touchdowns now or wait?
I was really hoping that wasn't going to come up. Hey, he was surrounded by weapons. The line wasn't great, but
he's still surrounded by those same weapons, to be honest.
OBJ, Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb, Kareem
Hunt.
I mean,
we're going to talk about all of them tonight.
I'm sure we are in this Browns episode, but oh my gosh. I mean, dude, I could come in and throw 20 touchdowns a year to those guys.
You might throw interceptions. Apparently, that's what Browns quarterbacks.
Well, so does Baker. So what's it going to matter? So I'm just going to spit off a list of five other quarterbacks in addition to Baker, and we're going to talk about how we want them. So number one, we're going to talk about Sam Darnold, or how it's supposed to be pronounced, Sam Darnold. That was for Bosch. Jimmy Garoppolo, Ryan Tannehill, Gardner Minshew, the new coming of God, Cam Newton, and Baker. So whichever guy is ready first, feel free to jump in.
Who's the last one? We got Darnold, Jimmy G, Tannehill, Minshew, Newton, and
Baker.
Oh, and Baker.
Yeah, and throw him in that list.
All right. Oy, man.
This list sucks.
Who is it? We've got Darnold, Garoppolo, Minshew, Newton. Who am I missing?
Tannehill.
Okay. Well,
this list, phenomenal a year and a half ago. Like, you're coming out of a startup with two of these guys, you are sitting pretty. You're loving your life. Your team's in a good spot. You probably spent two of these guys in the first five rounds of your startup. And once you guys are done, I'll read the calculator ranking along with my ranking.
I think I'm going Cam Newton first.
Nice. I thought about it.
I mean, legitimately, he's probably the least valued in the calculator. But I think that's just because his value has not rebounded as it probably should. I like him in New England. I have no problem. I know he's got a short-term contract, but look, if he's successful, that's going to become a long-term contract real fast. I still like what Cam Newton can do for me on the field. So I am going Cam Newton at one. I'll go Darnold at two. I'll go Baker at three. Jimmy G at four. Minshew gets the nod to be not last place on the list at five, and Tannehill at six. All of these guys, I mean, I guess, good Lord, I guess the most secure in their job might be Jimmy G. Like, job security is usually a big thing for me when we're talking about who I want as my second quarterback. It's somebody I don't expect to be a stud. I just expect them to actually play every single week without me being concerned.
I think the safest guy is the guy on the 1 year contract. I think it's Cam Newton, which is weird.
For like, we're talking for like next year and beyond. I mean,
agreed. Yep.
I think Jimmy,
Cam's
getting
a second deal.
I think Jimmy G's pretty safe too, but yeah, I think Cam's pretty safe as well. So, all right. That's my list. It definitely, I don't know. Kind of feels weird. Wasn't when you said the names, that's not what I originally was thinking. But as I started to rank them, that's how it comes out. Cam's on top, which is really strange considering what was it? When did he get signed? Was it even a month ago? A month ago, he was on the street, and you could get him for, you know, a second or a third.
So, Bosch, unsurprisingly, our lists are very similar.
Shocking.
When it comes to quarterbacks. I have Newton at one. I have Darnold at two. I have Baker at three. I had originally was putting Jimmy at four, but I actually combined Jimmy and Tannehill, so that's where we get there.
But you still have Minshew last.
I have Minshew last. I do. I think Jimmy and Tannehill are very similar because I think Tannehill with the new contract is probably has that same safety that Jimmy does. At least a little bit of security built in. So even though they're not great quarterbacks, they'll at least be QB2s. Minshew, I can't say the same for. I think he's the least likely of all of these quarterbacks to have a job next year. So
yeah, I kind of agree with you that he's the least likely as well. So maybe that should push him down the six. I'm not a fan of Tannehill. Like, I don't like his production from a fantasy standpoint. He probably is, he's a very good, like, reality quarterback, but it doesn't translate to fantasy. So I think that's why he's just the lowest on my list. He's a guy that even when I have him, I mean, unless I don't have another option, I don't feel like putting him in because I don't feel like I'm going to get even really a safe floor. Like, you know.
Yeah, but he's my perfect QB too. I mean, for me, you pay very little to get him. You know, you can stick him in that QB two spot because he's going to start almost every week. He'll get you, what, maybe like 15 points and then call it a day.
There's going to be times he's not going to get you 15.
I don't know. I'd say this season, at the end of his run last year, he's pretty consistent with getting those points. Yeah. And maybe this Tennessee offense is built for that. I mean,
high floor, low ceiling. Like, very consistent QB two.
Crawl space player per, now I forget who uses that term. Crawl space player. I can't remember who it is. Oh, it's been
too long. You got to have those guys. And yes, Bobby, I'm sorry. I know I'm going to lose this episode immediately. Minshew is last, no question about it for me, because of that security.
I'm just going to go ahead and say Daniel Jones, QB1. So we'll get that point from me there. So my list is a little bit different. I'm a little bit lower on one player. You could probably guess who it is. But my number one was actually Cam Newton. I was a little bit surprised at that because I'm pretty sure I trashed him in an episode, probably the last one we did, like 6 or 7 weeks ago, when he wasn't on a team and I thought he was done. I apologize. After I've seen him play this week, he threw like 16 times, scored twice on the ground, and he'll be fine. So he'll get another contract in New England. I think Bill likes him, which is good. So Garoppolo actually comes in at second on my list. I think he's the second most safe player, essentially because he's locked into that deal. They paid him a lot of money. They're building around him. They put pieces in that fits his West Coast style arm. So he's not going to lose his job. They're not going to play Nick Mullins over Garoppolo after he led him to the Super Bowl. That's why he comes in at two for me. I have Baker at three just because I felt like he deserved that for me at the worst. Tannehill at four. I have Minshew at five and Darnold at six because I don't know if Darnold is going to have – what has Darnold done better than Baker?
Doesn't matter. They get nothing rid of Gase. They get rid of Gase first, and then he gets another year.
Agreed. If the Jets have the number one pick next year, you do not pass on Trevor Lawrence, regardless of how they feel about Darnold. I mean, he will have had 3 years to prove himself, and he is not done.
You think the Browns are going to pass on Lawrence if they have the number one pick?
No. If the Browns have number one pick, Lawrence is going to Cleveland.
Why would Baker be ahead of Darnold?
I think it's more likely that the Jets have the number one pick than the Browns. I think a lot of people will agree with that too. The Jets are so bad.
Top to bottom, their team's worse, and they have one of the worst coaches in the league.
Agreed.
So I get that. I'm just saying, I either one could end up with if both quarterbacks are as bad as they could be, either one could end up with the first pick.
Agreed, but more or less, I mean, Darnold will probably get another. I mean, he'll get a job next year, but
Darnold has. I mean,
that's what we said about Jameis. We thought Jameis was a shoe-in to get. I mean, at least a bottom of the barrel starting spot.
And we still think that too. Like he's still holding some value because we all still think that.
Agreed. I'd rather have some of these guys.
He could be your Browns quarterback next year.
Oh, the world would burn. and the other defenses would get a lot of practice because they'd have a lot of picks. But that's kind of where I come in. I'm just not buying Darnold at the moment. Minshew played well in week one. I don't think he's going to continue to play at that level. I still think we see Fields there next year or Lawrence. Jags still could win two games the rest of the year. But quarterbacks suck. I'm done. I'm just going to go buy Mahomes and Lamar at every league I can and just not worry about it.
Worth the price.
Pay whatever you have to.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. Bosch, what do you got for running back? Let's. Obviously, we're sticking with the Browns theme, and there's two to choose from, though. And I'm pretty sure I know which one you're going with.
Yeah, I'm bringing Nick Chubb because he's still, based on the calculator, has a pretty high value. Comes in on the calculator at 43.2. I looked that up in 2021 picks. and I was pretty shocked. Two early 2021 firsts plus a mid 2021 second, just to be equal. To me, that feels like a pretty hefty price, but I'm a little bit lower on Chubb than I think the market is. So tell me, guys, am I crazy for thinking, good Lord, I wouldn't even consider paying that price for Chubb?
I'm with you. 2 weeks ago, I would have said Chubb, but the Browns decided to extend Kareem Hunt. So I'm going to take the two firsts and the second and just see what I can do, see what I can finagle out of those picks. I mean, at this point, yeah, absolutely. Give me the picks in a landslide.
Kevin, what about you?
I'm not nearly as confident in that as you guys are. I think I still take the picks because it's just a lot of capital that I think you can do some really good things with. But I'm definitely, it's not as much of a slam dunk for me. I still believe in Nick Chubb. I think this, you know, the Kareem Hunt signing doesn't really scare me all that much. It wasn't like they signed to a massive running back contract that they typically, you know, that we're seeing from these guys getting. He's not getting RB1 money. So I think Chubb's still their guy. I think they like what they can get out of Kareem Hunt. And it makes sense for them, for teams to have two solid running backs right now. So I'm not overly concerned about the Hunt contract. And I think you're going to see them run because they have to. Their offensive line looks terrible right now, which, you know, isn't helping Baker either. But I think Chubb's just a really good runner. This isn't as much of a slam dunk, but I still think I'm taking two early firsts.
Two early firsts. I mean, like, you're looking from a bad team that's rebuilding and for some reason investing in Chubb, which that seems – I don't know why a team would make that deal if they have two early 2021 firsts and a second to spare. It seems unlikely, but
– yeah, no chance. Like I said, I mean, I'm taking this if someone offers it to me, and I'm definitely not paying it. So I mean, that's where we're at. But
off the top of your head,
I still like Chubb though.
Do you guys know how many touches Chubb and Hunt had respectively in week one?
Ooh, I feel like I saw that stat and I should have remembered it, but I do not. I think they were close. They were close, weren't they?
I'm gonna say like 12 and 12.
Okay, Hunt had 13 carries. Chubb had 10 carries. Hunt had 4 receptions. Chubb had 1. Granted, it was a blowout, and Chubb did fumble. That doesn't help his case here, but since the, I mean, Hunt's going to be there for at least another couple of years, I think it could be a pretty gross 50-50 split.
Which is fine if the offense is clicking and being
fine.
Led by a quarterback who, you know, gets the ball down the field to his own team, and those drives result in touchdowns, then it's perfectly fine. Like, I'm no longer afraid of a split backfield. That doesn't scare me at all, as long as it's on a good offense.
I'm not either, but not at that price.
Yeah, not at that price.
Not paying. That's workhorse money, and you're not getting a workhorse there. And that, I mean, granted, there's few left, right? They're becoming fewer and fewer of those workhorse backs. So he's now still second tier, even with a good Kareem Hunt in the mix, in my opinion. But that's just crazy prices for that.
Yeah, when I did my little exercise that I do, you know, at the beginning of the offseason, like where I project the player to be at the end of next year, I had him ranked at the back end of as an RB1. I still kind of think that's where he should be. So I'm not really like lowering my value on him. I just don't feel compelled to pay this kind of a price to get a guy that I think's a back end RB1. I think that's kind of his ceiling now at this point. Not necessarily because he can't put up some points occasionally, but there have just been other running backs that have come in and jumped him. So let's get to some of those running backs. I'm going to go ahead and just say Kamara, everybody's above Kamara. Kamara's above him easy, right?
Easy.
Okay. They were relatively close in the calculator, and I think that was a discussion that a lot of people may have had not too long ago. Not a discussion anymore. So we'll go with the next group. We've got the shiny new toy, CEH, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We've got Dalvin Cook. We've got Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs, Joe Mixon, and Miles Sanders. Where do you guys slot those guys in right there?
Just want to let Nick Chubb's mom know that now's the time to hop off if she's listening.
I have a feeling Mixon's mom might Should probably do the same.
I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do, but I have a lot of mixing. Wasn't loving week one's usage in the first quarter. When I looked, he had like 3 carries for 7 yards.
At least Gio's getting a lot of catches, right?
Yeah.
a lot of targets.
I was 4 years too late on that one, apparently, after I traded Gio for fourths last year.
I'm really struggling at the top of this list.
I don't even know who. I haven't started ranking.
I'll go, but I'm not sold on it. I could jumble the top four, I think, in any number of ways, and maybe three for sure. And I'm not sure which one's gonna pan out the best. I mean, I put CEH at one. I'm just not. I don't know. Jonathan. I mean, Josh Jacobs comes in at number two for me, then Taylor. But the three of them, I literally, like, yeah, any one of them week to week, I think that could flop. So that top three. I put Cook at four because I think the production will be there, but I do still have injury concerns with him. Mixon is five because I've just never been a big Mixon guy. And to Riley's point, I didn't love the usage. I just don't trust the Bengals in general. And even though he's a long-term contract guy now, I just don't see it. So he's at five. Six is, this was weird for me. Six is Sanders and Chubb comes in last, oddly enough. Like, I didn't see that coming. So
scary that, okay, listen to being scary close to mine. I also have Clyde number one, just because, I don't know. He's number one. I said it. Kevin said it. This should be how it goes.
I agree as well. That's where I have Clyde.
I have Jonathan Taylor number two.
Same Riley. I have that as well.
I mean, I'm really excited. I'm sorry about Marlon Mack. I feel terrible about his popped Achilles. Is it weird they took Taylor in the second, they give the ball to Mack, and then Mack gets hurt week one? That just screamed weird to me last week. So Taylor's number two. I'm excited to see him in a full role. Jacobs three.
Same.
I really fought between this, but I'm going to put Dalvin four.
That's what I have.
Mixon five.
Ooh, we're different.
Sanders 6, Chubb 7.
All right, so I have the end of it going Sanders, Chubb, Mixon. And you can switch Chubb and Mixon however you want. I don't care. I do want Sanders ahead of him. I just kind of like him a little bit more right now. But, man, all of our lists are very, very similar. And we all have Chubb way pretty down low at the bottom or next to the bottom. He actually comes in on the calculator currently as the most valuable of this list.
Conference call with the boys tomorrow.
Time to update some coding, because I can't imagine taking any. I can't imagine taking Chubb above any of these guys. Really, I mean, even if I got an offer of like, I have Mixon below him. You guys have Mixon above him. If you guys get that 1-for-1 offer, you're not taking that, I'm guessing, because it's just a 1-for-1. Like, you're not really splitting differences there.
No, for me, there's a tier break after Jacobs, after the top three. I mean, unless somebody offers me Dalvin for Jacobs, which nobody's doing that right now, or Jacobs for Dalvin, 1-for-1 don't really interest me here.
Yeah.
Yeah, this whole tier 1-for-1 would be pretty tough. I mean, I think you're right, Riley. I think there's a tier break after those three. Dalvin's kind of on his island as a separate tier, and then the rest of them are sort of interchangeable as well. Did you guys struggle at all with Jacobs and Taylor? I mean, you both had Taylor at two, but did you struggle at all with that? Because
not even a little bit.
I thought about it, but at the end of the day, who do I trust more? Probably Taylor rather than Jacobs. I mean, I don't know. If Jonathan Taylor did not catch 6 passes in week one, probably would have been a little closer, but I was really happy to see him catching passes. Shocking, actually. I was shocked. I think everyone was. But the fact that they're going to use him in the pass game is massive.
All right, let me get one more quick question, because this is the kind of deal that I think you might see go down in a league. DeAndre Swift, an early 2021 first and a third for Nick Chubb. So I wanted to look for a deal with Akers and Swift, because they're the rookie running backs that had a bunch of hype, but they haven't had, like, you know, they're not prepared to be taking over like CEH and JTR right now. So went with Swift, an early first and a third. What are you taking there for that or Chubb? That comes out about equal in the calculator.
I have one Chubb share. I'm going to go make that offer right now just to see what happens. Zach, if you're listening, offers in your inbox, buddy.
I'll take Swift in the first. Honestly, if you sent me that without the third, I might even jump on.
That's actually what I was looking for first, was a running back, one of the rookies plus a first, and it wasn't equal. It came out favoring Chubb, and I was like, oh my god, I got to throw a third in there. I mean, to me, like a Swift and a first, but it's Detroit, and I mean they just brought in Adrian Peterson and freaking fed Adrian Peterson. I know, but
Swift is such a talented running back. Like he's got to eventually show out there, right? So I think that that's what you're waiting on.
This is I agree with you. It's Swift in the pick.
Let me pivot. Big time for me. I have a branching question. Zach also has Jonathan Taylor. What would you add to Chubb to get Taylor? Is that a move you're looking to make?
I would add a second.
You'd add a second.
I would add a second without even blinking. Yeah, a second. We have seen what happens with draft picks.
I don't think you're getting it done for that.
I don't think you get it either. I don't think you are. Good. Which is what's shocking, because that's how like the calculator here. This is why we do this show. Like, it doesn't give you that quick reaction. Maybe it's an overreaction, but I mean, like Chubb plus a second to get JT right now.
The stars. Hey,
that seems like something that should get done, but I don't. I think you're right. I don't think it does.
Boys, the stars are aligning, because guess who doesn't have a second? This guy. So, should I offer Chubb and a 2022 first?
Yeah.
Chubb and a future first.
See that your 2 year out first is.
I agree. When you do that, I agree. Still a first though, and I've actually kind of come around on. I used to think that's a first is 2 years out. I can recoup that value eventually. I really like starting to get future first, because they just continue to go up in value.
Me too. And they come cheap, kind of.
I don't mind getting them, but that's the point, Bosch. You're not taking full value for them. They don't rank as highly as a first. They don't even rank as highly as a second in most cases.
No, they do for me now. Like, I'll take a first a year out.
But for
a second,
I mean market value though. Correct. For you, because you're smart and savvy, right? So, but
I don't know
but
about that. People, but that's how I treat them.
But for most people, that value's not there. So that's my point.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to offer it. Chubb and a future first for Taylor. I'll have him throw in a third just because I'm me.
ask for a second back. Maybe.
No, I want a second. I don't think would do it, but I think.
No chance.
I think this is going to. Watch him reject this in 5 minutes. I'll let you know if we're still
here. Yeah, I hope he replies on air some way.
I'll shoot him a text.
Is this Zach, our buddy Zach Reed, or is this?
This is Zach Reed.
Okay,
oh yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
And Kevin, this is the Dummies Funhouse Podcast Network League that we drafted like 4 weeks ago.
Awesome! Fantastic.
Riley already can't wait to shift his team. Oh baby. I am very anxious to know if you get JT out of this.
If I get Taylor on air,
like 4 weeks ago, that would have been just so outrageously expensive. But now, I think that is the price that you have to pay to go from Chubb to get the JT, and that's just crazy.
Yep. All right. Well, while Riley is making his offer here, why don't we go ahead and go to wide receivers? I, of course, am bringing our often mentioned trade guy. Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, not my boy Jarvis Landry? I thought you'd been my boy Jarvis.
Now come on, Bosch. You know that I'm not ever going to talk about Jarvis for that long on a podcast. So Odell Beckham Jr. comes in on the calculator at a value of 27.4, which I think is creeping towards the too high. And when they start running some more algorithms here, he may see a little bit of a dip as well. But that equates to basically a first, second, and third. Early first, second, and third in 2021 picks. So you're giving up your, depending on how many picks your league has, you may be giving up your whole draft board for 2021 to get OBJ, and that's if you have an early pick. So Bosch or Riley. Riley does not look ready yet. Bosch does not look ready yet.
Ready. I'm ready. All right. I knew you were going to bring OBJ. And I did not look up his price. I was really hoping that his price was going to be just like a single first. because I think I would probably pay a single first, but I'm not adding on the second. I don't really care about the third. Thirds are almost nothing. The second is just enough for me to want to keep it, especially with just – it's more about I can go get wide receivers. I don't have to invest heavily for wide receiver to get wide receiver production at this point in the NFL. There's just a lot of options at wide receiver. If I'm going to give up my first, second, and third, it's going to be for a freaking running back, because if I'm giving that up, I'm hoping to compete. And that's the position that I'm going to need at the end. So I'm going to save that capital and use it where I need it to compete. I don't think Odell Beckham is the answer of what puts any of my rosters over the top. So I think that's a failed investment there. I can get wide receiver production elsewhere. That's the biggest factor. Not totally out on OBJ, but not investing at that cost.
So you said you'd take a single first before we get Riley's answer. How high up the board do you go with that single first?
Is it first?
No matter what, 101, would you give up the 101 for OBJ, or is it lower down the board?
Well, I don't ever think I'm going to have the 101. So.
Fair enough. But let's play the game. How high do you go?
You know how this works, Bosh. You know how this works.
I mean, if I have a team that I think is a playoff team, I'd probably give it. If I have a team that I think is really like a championship team, and it's already pretty stacked, I would give that. If I have a team that I don't think really deserves to make the playoffs, but is one of those teams that, like, week one, it had a good week already. I know it's way too early to project, but it's never too early to project, because you have to pay attention to your leagues, and you should already know which teams are the most likely to make the playoffs and which aren't. I mean, that's something you can tell by now.
About the cash. If you're going to cash, you make the deal. if he helps you cash.
It is.
If you're that middling team, he could be the difference between cash and not cash, basically, is what it boils down to.
Well, I don't want to just cash with him. I want to win with him. But, I mean, if it's a team where I don't think I'm making the playoffs, I'm probably not going to invest it in OBJ. I would rather save the pick then and invest it next year. Because I think I can get something better than OBJ a year from now with that pick, to be honest.
All right, Riley, you're up.
I was hoping Bosch would say the other one, because I was just going to shit on his opinion. I had to get that in there once we figured out we were doing OBJ. I can buy more productive receivers with a first and second than I can a first, second, and third with OBJ. So I'm going to take those picks. And then I'm going to go to the Adam Thielen owner and be like, hey, would a first and a third get it done? He says yes. I'm going to jump for joy and celebrate, because Thielen is a little bit older, but he's safer. He's going to produce the same, if not more, and keep my second.
Go to the A-Rob owner, ask the same question.
A-Rob owners are weird. I don't think they're going to let go of A-Rob.
You don't think so?
Uh-uh. It's like trying to...
go to the Landry owner and just give up the first.
That might work too. That might work too.
I'm with you guys. I'm not paying that for OBJ for sure. I am probably smash accepting if someone sends it to me, because you guys know my feelings with wide receivers anyway.
Nobody above wide receiver 20, baby.
That's right. I don't have anything but a wide receiver 3 on my team, and sadly enough, OBJ is kind of that. So I guess he would fit in at this point, but not for these prices. All right, so here are some players that we have with similar values, and Bosch, I think this is kind of going to be sort of in the chub range, because a lot of these guys, I don't know how much I would value them close to OBJ, but we will go through them. Cortland Sutton would be the first one on the list.
Oh my God, we don't even have to, he's close. A smash above OBJ. Like, just keep going down the list, we'll tell you when to stop.
Amari Cooper?
Amari is... This is insane. There's no way he's worth these guys.
Calvin Ridley. DK Metcalf. Cooper Kupp. And I got a little trade action for you too. We'll get to that after you guys rank. We might as well just rank these other wide receivers, since OBJ is most likely going to be
last,
close to last, if not last.
He might be second last. Come on now, you put Cooper Kupp on the list.
Ooh,
I'm kidding.
They're the same age, Bosh.
I know. I think OBJ actually is going to come out last on my list. This is nuts.
Love this range though. This is a range I target in startups. Not OBJ. No, he's last for me. But love this range. Love this range.
In startups, you're absolutely right, Riley. This is a great range for startups. I might even consider taking a wide receiver at this range. Probably not. Might be a little high for me, but it's close.
I'm torn with, you all know my feelings on Russell Wilson, but Seattle let him freaking throw the ball finally. Now, like, I want to see them do that again. And if they do, then I like DK Metcalf a lot more. Oof. That's hard. Like, the first four receivers, Kupp and OBJ are at the bottom. The first four, man, this is kind of challenging.
I disagree a little bit. I have a different fifth.
Who does Riley?
All right, well, Riley, let's go. Let's
yeah,
go
Riley,
for it.
You
I'll just go off the cup. I actually, I don't have my first four ranked, but I'll just talk through it. So, out of all these guys, I think I want Cortland Sutton first. I think he's my guy. I know he didn't play week one, but I think once he gets in there, I think he and Locke are going to show a very good chemistry. Judy's going to open up the middle of the field for him. I think Sutton's number one. Two, I think I want DK number two. Massive ceiling. I think he's going to have a pretty decent floor this year. Now that hopefully if they let Russ throw more than 15 times week in and week out, DK's going to have a really nice floor and a huge upside. Thought about him over Sutton, but I think I still want Sutton one. So Sutton one, Metcalf two, Ridley three, Kupp four. No question for me. Kupp four, Cooper five, OBJ six.
I'm still an Amari fan, so I'll put Amari above Kupp. I know he's not as consistent. I'm well aware of that.
He's the Russell Wilson of wide receivers.
He is the Russell, and I'm okay with that for my wide receiver position. I'm not okay with that from a quarterback that I have to pay a ton of money to get on my team, or not money, but investment, whatever you want to call it. So I think I want Riley Ridley one.
Oh, yes, and you do. Riley Ridley number one, baby.
Honestly,
let's go.
One, two, and three are pretty interchangeable at this point for me. I had Sutton at two and DK Metcalf at three. I really don't care how you jumble those. I like all three of them basically the same at this point. I do have Amari at four. I would like to have him higher, but it is the consistency that pushes him down. It is his boom games that keep him above for me, above Kupp and OBJ. I think I have Kupp above OBJ, so I think OBJ just comes in last. This is – I would not have expected that. I mean, we are not far removed from where OBJ was the 101. Like, he was it. He was the top player in Dynasty. It's not been that long. A lot of stuff has happened.
Definitely.
A lot of stuff has happened, but it hasn't been that long.
I can't believe you want Riley Ridley first over all these guys.
Oh, did I say Riley Ridley?
I mean,
I was not
shocked here. I mean, phenomenal. Abash,
oh, okay.
As a Ridley fan,
I'm finally understanding why you reacted the way you did. I was not paying attention, but I was looking at Riley while I said that. So, Calvin Ridley.
Oh, you meant
Good
Calvin.
Lord.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
my bad.
Yeah, that Ridley guy.
Should I re-rank my players?
So I'm with you guys, Bosch. I'm with you on those top three. I think I'd do it more towards the Riley side, not Ridley. Riley on this podcast. Cortland Sutton's probably one, and Metcalf two for me. With Ridley, just right there. You know, again, no one for one trades on any of those guys, in my opinion. I would put Cooper at four and Amari Cooper at four, I should say. And
we had all kinds of chances to mess up these names. I don't feel bad at all for saying Riley Ridley.
Yeah, for sure.
As I'm staring at Riley while I'm speaking.
I think I might still take OBJ over Kupp, but I don't
know. Wow. Okay, why the Kupp hate? I don't think I understand the Kupp hate.
I actually don't hate him. I don't know. I really don't know.
He doesn't have the ceiling that OBJ we think could still have. I think that's why people don't like
him
as much.
He's tied to a relatively bad quarterback, and
who is OBJ tied to? Now I'm dissing shots at Baker.
Kupp is nice and consistent, but he doesn't feel like he has that weak winner in him. OBJ, there's still some. We all have OBJ. I have OBJ last. But I think that's the perception, is that when OBJ hits, he's going to win a week for you. I don't think anybody looks at Cooper Kupp as, this guy's going to win a week for me. I love Cooper Kupp. I love Matt Price for getting me onto Cooper Kupp well before anybody else did. And it's paid dividends. It's fantastic. But I think that's the perception of Kupp versus the perception of OBJ. And I think that's why.
We're also a show dedicated to market value, right? Not who I like better on my roster and all that.
That's why I put Kupp over Cooper. I mean, they're in not similar situations, but both have somewhat crowded offenses with a lot of mouths to feed.
Dallas's offense has got to be way better. Their quarterback play is slightly better.
It is slightly better, and I think the Dallas offense is better as a whole. But I would rather have Kupp over Cooper because I think Cooper's going to get more consistently targeted as the wide receiver one in his offense. Well, no, I can't say that. Woods had a good – I don't know. I would rather have Kupp because it's Kupp and Woods as opposed to Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, Zeke. Throw Zeke in there too. I think the pot is bigger in Dallas. Which is good sometimes.
I think they will also score more. They're just led more. The too many mouths thing doesn't hold water for me in fantasy anymore because teams just score a lot of points now. I mean, it's
true.
The NFL scoring is just higher. So
did Kupp get extended? I know they were talking about it. I don't know if it actually happened or not.
I haven't seen a deal come through yet. It'll probably come through while I'm editing this podcast.
Probably so, since that's how this is. It seems like it happens every time for us, but.
All right, well, one more quick one before to round this out. Keenan Allen and Zach Moss for OBJ.
I want Keenan Allen and Zach Moss.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, that's
yeah,
that's
I thought so too.
You're going to get similar production from Allen and
that,
OBJ.
That combination comes in 2 points lower on the calculator than OBJ does.
You know what? Throw in a third and I'll do it. 100%.
Keenan Allen's actually a guy that I ended up getting in a lot of leagues this offseason. The price for him, I know that like week one, Tyrod seemed to like Mike Williams a little bit more, but I think Keenan Allen will still have a. I think he's in for a good season, so I'm still all aboard having Keenan Allen on a lot of my rosters right now.
I am in agreement there. So that will do it for tonight. Riley, did you hear back on your trade before we close this thing out?
I think he went to bed. He's an early riser.
Oh, he is. He has to
He's
work
an early
like
riser.
Super
I think
early
he gets
morning,
to work at
right.
like 4 a.m.
That is correct. Yeah. So, Riley, we'll have to do another show within the next couple weeks so you can update us on that. In the meantime, make
next
sure you
week,
check
boys.
Out.
We will be back next week.
Oh, boy. Bosch is writing checks we can't cash. Check us out on Twitter. It is at Dynasty Wall Street with an ST for street. You can check out at John Bosch FF. You can check out Riley at DTC_RileyB. You can check out me. I'm at Kevin Cotillo. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dynasty Wall Street. Make sure you head over to DynastyTradeCalculator.com and subscribe to the Trade Calculator because they will be updating their rankings and their values and making sure that Chubb is knocked down a little bit. I'm sure they will do that after listening to this. And it's a good tool for making some deals. So thanks again. We'll be back apparently in the next 2 weeks.
1 week.
So, yeah.
1 week.
Extra, extra latest Wall Street prices.
Here's a quarter. Keep the change. You gotta be cool when you're walking on Wall Street. Like going to school, you'll learn a lot every day. And this is the rule when you're walking on Wall Street. Buy low, sell high, take a piece of the pie. That's the Wall Street way. That's the Wall Street way.